Lucas. You are listening to KFM. My name is Caoimhe Harney. I'll be with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. I hope you're staying warm and cozy. It's freezing cold out there. I have a big shawl on me. Coming up on today's programme, we'll be speaking to the head of healthcare at HICWA. HICWA have found in a new report that Ireland's health system is under unprecedented strain. No surprises there to many people. We'll be speaking to John Duffy. He's the head of healthcare at HICWA. We'll then be speaking to Fiona O'Malley, Chief Executive of Turn to Me Mental Health Charity. She'll be telling us why people shouldn't compare themselves to others and what they see on Instagram this Christmas. And the charity is encouraging people to reduce their social media usage over the Christmas period. We'll then be speaking to Paul McKinney. He's the IBTS Director of Donor Services and Logistics. And the Irish Blood Transfusion Service is urging donors to make a special effort to give blood leading up to and over the Christmas and New Year period, because 20% of appointments have been cancelled weekly due to illness. So if you can, go ahead and donate blood wherever there is a blood donation clinic taking place. And of course, we'll then be speaking to David Moore from he's the editor of Astronomy Ireland, and there'll be shooting stars falling all across the country tonight. David will be telling us the optimum places to be seeing them. Of course, if you want to get in touch with the show, 0833 97 97 97. If you want to call us, 045 898 999. If you want to email, it's studio@kfmradio.com.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, like I said, emergency departments are under unprecedented strain. That's according to a new report from the Health Information and Quality Authority. And joining me now on the line to discuss this is Head of Healthcare at HICWA, John Tuffy. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe.
John, tell us first time, what emergency departments did you look at in this report?
So as part of this, this is our first batch of reports that we've published under the new programme inspection in 2022. We've conducted a number of inspections this year, but this is based on our already published report in Cavan Monaghan Hospital, Cork University Hospital, University Hospital Limerick, Mayo University Hospital, Sligo University Hospital, St Michael's and St Vincent's University Hospital. So the composite of findings that we've published today is based on our individual findings in those particular hospitals.
Okay, so the findings from the across the board, John, are they fairly similar?
There is quite a lot of similarity across them. We can see that some hospitals are managing better than others. I think a key element of what we're publishing today is that a lot of emergency departments are under unprecedented strain as a result of the number of patients attending emergency departments in Ireland, and that's in the context of a growing and aging population within Ireland. I suppose from our inspections that we've conducted to date, we can see that some of the factors that are affecting the overcrowding is insufficient measures to manage patient flow, inadequate bed capacity, limitations on access to other alternatives to acute services, and issues with staffing shortages in some of the departments that we've been in.
Okay. And on average, John, how long would people be waiting for a bed in hospitals, the ones that you looked at?
There's quite a variation in the hospitals that we've been in. To be fair, we have seen examples of hospitals where there is 80 to 90 hours of waiting time for beds. Mm. Now, there's the higher end of what we've seen. Some patients move through faster to the system, but we have seen examples, even on the days that we've been there, where patients have been waiting excessive times for a hospital bed.
Okay. Because I know you didn't look at Naas General Hospital in your report, but here in Kildare, just to say today, there's 17 patients on trolleys in the emergency department in Naas General. We hear anecdotally here in Kildare that when people say, you know, they're waiting on a trolley, in some cases, they're actually waiting on chairs in emergency departments to get a bed then. John, what did you see in relation to this?
And this is again something consistent we've seen across a lot of our inspections is the factors which are affecting patient flow, which is delays in getting triage initially, and then meeting clinicians to make a decision, and then from a patient bed thereafter. So we've spoken with patients on our inspections, and to be fair to the hospitals that we've been in, not every patient had a terrible experience. There's a variation of what we did see, but certainly we have seen high numbers of patients on trolleys. Instances where consultations and discussions and private information is shared on public corridors. And so we believe that the context in which that's given isn't appropriate for patient care.
Okay, what are the recommendations then coming out of this report then?
Based on the context of our findings today, we believe that there needs to be a composite or a system-wide approach to this issue, because it isn't just an emergency department issue, it's a whole healthcare issue. And we believe that there should be a building of capacity within the healthcare system, and that involves acute and community. And that involves beds, but also infrastructure and support services to manage the increasing need for beds. We also believe that there needs to be more responsive actions on management when there are peaks of surge and presentations of emergency departments. And that's at local levels in hospitals, at regional, and with support from the national HSC. And again, from what we've seen is the HSC have key quality indicators to measure performance. And we believe that there should be greater action taken in instances of poor performance in our emergency departments.
Okay.
The final two recommendations that we have is in relation to workforce planning. And we have seen staffing deficits, not in all services we've looked at, but certainly across the board. We've seen deficits in staffing both clinician, medical, pharmacy, and other health social care professionals. So again, the need to strategically look at workforce planning across our healthcare system. And our final point is about managing risk when it does arrive. There's surges and presentations that do happen, that the appropriate measures in place to be able to manage that and have timely triage for patients, timely assessments for them, and the ability to move out of the emergency department situation into a bed where needed.
Okay, you spoke there just briefly about the workforce. How were the staff in the emergency departments?
I suppose what we found across the seven inspections, 6 out of 7 services we were in didn't have the approved whole-time equivalent nursing staff. And we've seen deficits on the day of the inspection, and they range from 2% to 34% shortfalls in staffing. We've also seen deficits in non-consultant hospital doctors as well, so elements where there's a reliance on agency staff or overtime staff to supplement that. And I suppose the reality of that mechanism, it's not sustainable. The Department of Health and Minister have acted on some elements that we've in our reports that we published already. There has been additional ED consultants where needed, and there's expansion of the safe nursing framework within emergency departments and wards. But there's a key issue that we believe that needs to be expedited over the coming days, months and years is a strategic look at workforce planning across the whole healthcare system, including community.
Okay, and what was the longest example of a patient waiting for a bed, John?
This is through a report we published earlier in the year. We had an example of a patient waiting 116 hours in one of the hospitals we inspected earlier in the year. So that was a significant outlier. But we have seen examples, as I said, of patients waiting 80 to 90 hours, depending on the hospital they're in and the availability of beds within the hospital.
Okay, John, that is John Duffy, Head of Healthcare at HICWA, who have just published their new report, and that has found that Ireland's health system is under unprecedented strain. John, thank you very much. Now, I'm joined on the line by Turn to Me Mental Health Charity Chief Executive Fiona O'Malley. Good afternoon, Fiona.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Fiona, what's the worst present you've ever received?
Oh, God, I think the worst present I ever received was actually a DVD from my brother, which he wanted for himself. And I opened it and he reached over and grabbed it off me. He was about to put it into the DVD player and I was like, hold that now. I'm going to exchange that for something else. I have no interest in that movie.
So he was just thinking of himself when he bought the present.
He was young, you know, and I'm sure we've all done silly things when we were young.
But. Yeah, definitely. I find now myself with three brothers, they're not necessarily the best at presents, but sometimes they can hit it lucky when they're going good. Fiona, of course, you're here to talk today about people not comparing themselves to what they see on Instagram over the Christmas, and to encourage people to reduce their social media over the Christmas holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. So comparisons to, like, I suppose the perfect Instagram Christmas can lead to unrealistic expectations and disappointment. And that's one of the reasons that turned to me, which is the National Mental Health Charity, is encouraging people to reduce their social media usage over Christmas. A lot of research will show that social media can be very, very damaging for our mental health. There was a 2015 study called the Children's Wellbeing Publication, and that found that children who spent more than 3 hours using social networking websites on a school day were twice as likely to report high or very high scores for mental ill health. And the 2016 Journal of Adolescence found that social media can, in adolescents, be associated with poor sleep quality, anxiety, depression, and low self-esteem. And I think particularly at Christmas, we can see heavily edited versions of people's lives. Like at Christmas time, it's a moment for so many, I suppose, landmarks and life celebrations for a lot of people, whether they're finishing a master's program or a course that they did, or whether they're engaged or just bought their dream house or announced a pregnancy, or if they're sharing maybe some luxurious gifts that they've gotten. That can all, I suppose, make people feel inadequate by comparison if they're not going through those kind of celebratory moments. But it's important to remember that what we see on Instagram is not reality. It's like comparing your own life with what you see in an advert, because it's heavily edited and people don't share like the mundane or the boring stuff that they do in their lives, or the difficulties that they're having, because people don't want to wash their dirty laundry in public. And then I suppose that can make us feel inadequate by comparison when we think, oh, my life is terribly boring by comparison, or I have to do that tedious task every single day, and these people seem to have perfect lives with, you know, moments that we see on Instagram, particularly if they capture like precious moments with loved ones and their families. That can make other people kind of feel, oh, well, I have a lot of conflict in my family, and I by comparison, I don't have this perfect family that I'm seeing on Instagram. But the reality is that most people have at least one dysfunctional or damaging relationship in their family. So it's never like for like, and we should never be comparing ourselves to other people, and particularly not what we see on social media, because A, it's not reality, and B, it can leave us feel very disappointed.
Yeah, and of course, like you said, like, people don't put up, you know, the boring things, or the thing, you know, oh, me crying in my bathroom, or, you know, a family fight. Of course, people, they put up the highlight reel of things that have happened over Christmas. And the reality is that it might have only been 2% happy in comparison to the other 98%, but you're not going to see that if you're constantly looking at these pictures. Fiona, if people are tending to be on Instagram, and it is hard, like, not just Instagram, but any social media site, because, like, you know, especially when you're hanging around, you're watching movies and then you're kind of just scrolling around. What kind of advice would you give? You know, just turn off your phone over Christmas, or reduce your use? Like, what would your advice be?
Yes, that's a great question. I suppose some people find it beneficial to totally delete their social media accounts. But if you're like me, and if you don't want to have that permanency of deleting something, and maybe you don't want to lose contact with some people that you're only really in contact with over social media if they're abroad or anything, what I like to do is I just delete the app from my phone, so that I'm not wasting hours and hours kind of scrolling and being really unproductive. Not only is it unproductive, but obviously it's bad for your mental health to be on social media for hours on end. So I just delete the app, and then every time I need to check something on social media, I re-download the app, and then I might check it or post for a couple of minutes, interact with people for a couple of minutes, and then I'm off it and delete the app again. So it might seem like a bit you know, laborious or a bit tedious deleting it and re-uploading it every so often. But for me, I find that stops me wasting hours on end. And it's so tempting. You know, it is kind of like just scrolling along, yeah. And kind of, you can do that nearly for hours on end. But, like, I mean, me personally, I've never you know, spent, you know, hours on social media just scrolling, and then felt, oh, that was so productive. That was great. That's great use of my time there. Because it's, you know, as we say, when people are comparing their lives to other people's lives, they can make them feel inadequate, or they can have FOMO, the fear of missing out, or they can feel like they are missing out if they see, you know, friends missing up and they think, oh, I wasn't invited to that, or, it can just be, I suppose, a waste of our time and quite detrimental to our mental health as well, which is why I would encourage people, if you don't want to totally delete the delete your social media accounts, maybe deleting the app, you know, every day, or, you know, however often you want to take that break from social media. And maybe even monitor your own mental health, like if you delete the app or if you restrict yourself or restrain yourself from spending time on social media, does your mental health benefit? Do you feel better about yourself? Are you more productive? Do you spend more time with friends or outdoors rather than on the phone for hours on end? That's all, you know, positive steps that we can take to, you know, prioritising our mental health.
Okay, that's really good advice there, Fiona. And then just before I let you go, I know that Turn to Me, they're encouraging people, especially from here in County Kildare, to avail of its free counselling sessions, free support groups and free thought catcher mood diary over the Christmas period. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we offer everyone in Ireland up to 6 free counselling sessions, and they're conducted by mental health professionals. We also offer free unlimited support groups on grief, anxiety, depression, relationship issues. We also are running a support group on the Christmas blues for people who might be feeling down over Christmas. And we also offer a free service called a Thought Catcher. It's an online mood diary. People can post how they're feeling, other people can receive Sponge, and that runs every single day from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. So if anyone wants to avail of any of those free professional mental health services, they can go onto our website and sign up for them. And our website is turntome.ie. That's turntome.ie.
Okay, that's great, Fiona. Is there any phone number that people can call, or is it just the website they have to book on?
It's just the website. Okay. People can also reach out to us on our social media channels. We're on TikTok and Instagram and social media, other social media channels like Twitter as well. So even though that's a bit hypocritical now because I've just told people to reduce their time on social media, but if they do feel like they want to reach out for professional mental health services, they can reach out to us on any of the social media platforms, or they can go to our website, which is turntome.ie.
That's great advice there, Fiona. And it is great to remember, we do actually have a text in here to say he's living on his own for the first Christmas in 13 years. So it is important to remember that not everyone is going to be absolutely, you know, jumping through hoops and excited for Christmas. And it can, of course, be a difficult time. That is Fiona O'Malley, Chief Executive of Turn to Me, the mental health charity. And if you do want to avail of any of those free services, it's turntome.ie. It's over the Christmas. And Fiona, of course, is advising people that if they are feeling lonely to reach out and don't be on your own. And Turn to Me is offering those free services, 6 counselling sessions to combat the Christmas blues. Now we're changing tack a slight bit here, and we'll be speaking about giving a Christmas donation or a gift. It's not the usual type, it is a blood donation, and I'm joined now on the line by Paul McKinney. He is the Irish Blood Transfusion Service Director of Donor Services and Logistics. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Paul, I see here there's 20% of all appointments are being cancelled weekly due to illness. Are stocks running low?
Stocks have been very challenging. We are particularly low on our 3 negative blood groups, O negative, which is the universal blood group, B negative and A negative. So they are challenging, and this is why we're making this Christmas and New Year appeal, asking people, please, if they get a text from us, to make an appointment so that we can get through the Christmas and New Year holiday period without, you know, without having to make a national appeal.
Okay, so it's mainly the O negative, B negative and A negative blood types that you're looking for there, Paul?
Yes, they're the groups that were constantly challenged. As I said, O negative is a universal blood group, and we're always low on it. I mean, today we're not bad with 5.3 days, but, you know, coming up to a weekend, that's why we're putting on a lot of additional clinics this Sunday and for next week, and that's why we're making this annual Christmas appeal. It's really asking, as you said earlier, asking people to make a donation, to give a gift which could save somebody's life or certainly significantly improve their life. It's a wonderful thing to do, and what a fantastic gift to give anybody.
Of course, it definitely is. And there are a number of clinics that are taking place over the Christmas period, which I'll read out there in a minute, Paul. But just for people who don't know, because I'm actually O negative, I only found out that it was, you know, universal blood type after like a couple of times going. Explain to people what universal blood type means.
Well, universal blood type means, I mean, normally if you go into the hospital and you need blood, they'll take a sample of your blood and they'll test it. And if you're O positive, they'll give you an O positive unit. But very often, if it's an emergency situation and you have to be given blood without a sample being sent to a laboratory to see what type you are, they will give you O negative, which is absolutely perfect for any blood for any patient with a different blood group. And they will continue to give you O negative if you need it until they identify what your blood type is. And then they will, well, obviously the clinician will decide whether to continue to give you O neg or that you get the blood group that you are matched up to. So that's why it is so. Every hospital theatre in the country has two units of O negative in the theatre, just in case. So that is why it is so important and so critical for us to ensure that the stocks are good.
Okay. And Paul, I was reading up online earlier about, you know, the benefits of giving blood, because sometimes people think, you know, oh, I have to give blood and I'm going to feel tired and I'm this and I'm that. But actually, when I researched up, I found something in the Columbia Irvine Medical Journal, and it said that regular blood donation is linked to lower blood pressure and a lower risk of heart attacks, and that it definitely helps to reduce cardiovascular risk factors. So, like, it's not even that you're helping someone else. You potentially are improving your own health too.
Well, yeah, there are well known benefits that you do get with your own personal health giving blood. But yes, it's that is our biggest fear. We find that many people who are considering giving blood, their biggest fear is actually going in and seeing a needle. But you know, the process is very well done. Our staff are excellent. They're good at giving people confidence and relaxing and asking any questions that they have before they make the donation. And if you know somebody who's donated blood, we often say, you know, please talk to another donor and they can take you through the whole experience. But yes, there are, as you said, there are benefits that are well documented to people who do give blood.
And it's great, I think, the new tech service that you've brought in there in the last couple of years, where, you know, once you give blood, you get the message when it is used in whatever hospital it's used in. And it does give people that little bit of a boost to think, you know, my blood potentially has saved somebody's life. And if you donate blood, Paul, is one donation used for one person? Is that how it works, or can it be used for a couple of different people?
Well, no. Normally, a blood donation is one unit, and we do obviously that unit is transfused to one particular patient. But you know, we can make platelets out of blood donations, so they can be used for different treatments. So you know, your unit of blood could be used as in the manufacturing of a platelet unit. So there are different ways that your unit can help, and obviously babies. We split the packs, and it is possible that, you know, babies might receive a transfusion because they are much smaller from one donation. So, and it's interesting, you did touch on the text. That was one thing that we found. We were trying to close the loop. I mean, wonderful donors would come in, they would donate, and that would be it. And then we contact them in 3 months to say, listen, would you come in and donate again? So we were looking for something to try and close that circle. So that's what we did. When you donate, we send you a text when that unit has been issued to a hospital. So it really has been, you know, a fantastic way for us to stay in touch with the donor and let them know that their unit has actually been used to save somebody's life or to improve somebody's life. It's been a fantastic success for us, and we've had fantastic feedback about it.
Brilliant. Well, if anyone out there in Kildare wants to give the gift of blood this Christmas, you can do so in Naas on the 27th of December. And you can also do so on the 28th of December in Naas. On Thursday, the 29th of December, it'll be in Naas and Athy. And then on Friday, the 30th of December, it'll be Kilcock, Athy and Naas blood clinics in all of those places over the Christmas. So if you are a blood donor or you want to become one, of course, do go along, and you've no excuse there in Kildare. There's loads of places. And of course, a lot of people, Paul, over the Christmas sometimes find themselves at a loose end, loads of time off, nothing to do. And sure, what better time way to spend your time than to go in and give blood?
Absolutely. You're 100%. Come in with your friend, sit down. We'll give you a cup of tea and a biscuit at the end of it. But what the one thing that we really do, we will give our appreciation. And I would just like to thank your listeners. Wish them a happy Christmas and a happy new year, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting us through what has been a very tough number of years. We really do appreciate it.
Well, there you go. Paul McKinney, Director of Donor Services and Logistics at the Irish Blood Transfusion Service, calling for people to give the gift of blood this Christmas. Thank you very much, Paul.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney.
Lots of messages still coming in to 0833 97 97 97 for a chance to win the €50 voucher for Maynooth Jewellers. Chris in Athgarvan has texted in saying, "Oh no, Caoimhe, socks are never an acceptable present for any occasion. I think your dad is just being nice to you." I think socks are good. Like my socks always have holes in them, and I always wish I wish I had a pair of socks. So I don't know. I kind of disagree with you there. And then Mick has got in touch to say, "Hi, Caoimhe, please remember, guys are practical. They think what they need, and you might need what they need, what you need too. They do think of what they give you. It might not be what you want, but what they think you need." So obviously in relation to the my boyfriend saying he was going to get me a gym membership, I wasn't too angry about it, but just surprised that he thought it was a good idea. Now joining me on the line is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland, and he'll be telling us about the falling stars, shooting stars that will be falling across the country tonight. But first, I have to ask you, David, good afternoon. What is the worst Christmas present you've ever got?
Oh, gosh, I wasn't expecting that one. Well, the quick answer is nothing.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. A good few nothings coming into me here.
Apart from that, I'm too much of a glass half full person to remember the bad ones.
Very good.
I don't actually remember any bad ones, to be honest.
Or maybe everyone that you're friends with or related to is just a really good present buyer.
It could be. Yes,
so, David, tell us what's happening this evening. I know that there will be shooting stars across the country, and there were some last night, I believe.
Yes, we have the best shooting star shower of the year happening. It actually peaks about now, just around afternoon today. So last night and tonight will be the best nights to watch it. So we're trying to get everybody out watching this shower. In particular, it's known for producing bright fireballs. They're just meteors that are brighter than normal, so brighter than anything in the sky. And there were several of those last night as well. I had amazing views, and we were definitely up to the 20 times more than normal. So we've got this free celestial fireworks display taking place above everybody's head. And we don't want people to be put off by the weather. The weather is perfect. It was only -6 degrees Celsius last night. And that's great weather for viewing in, because that just means put on a few extra layers. Stick a hot water bottle under your coat as well if you have to. And then you can last for hours outside. And about roughly once every minute, there was this bright fireball zipped across the sky. And you can't resist going ooh and ah at things like this happening 100 miles above your head, and you can see them over the entire 32 counties. So we really do want people to experience them tonight. It's the best of the year, and so rare to have a clear sky over Ireland when something good is happening.
So a clear sky, no clouds. It's the optimal conditions for the falling stars, shooting stars to be seen. David, any time I hear about the shooting stars, I always say, oh yeah, I'll go outside. And I never seem to see them. So I don't know, am I going out at the right times? Like, what's the best time to go out tonight?
Yeah, now the trick is to wait. Your eyes take a few minutes to get used to the dark. The experts say wait 15 minutes or so. But to be honest, after 5 minutes, your eyes are pretty much as good as they're going to get. Especially tonight after 10 o'clock, because we have the moon rising then. So even people who live in the countryside with normally be dark skies are going to have the same kind of light background sky that suburban dwellers have all the time. So it's a level playing field after 10, and you'll see them from dusk until dawn. But if you are in the countryside, from as soon as it gets dark until about 10:30 or so when the moon rises, that is perfect time for watching the Geminids. But give your eyes those 5 minutes to get used to the dark. Don't look at any bright lights, certainly not your phone. Turn it off or make it as dim as possible, for sure. And if you want to count the number, Astronomy On magazine wants you to send those to us. All you need to do is count how many you see every 15 minutes. Go to astronomy.ie, our website, and you'll see where to send them in. And people have been doing that all last night. I was counting them as well. You're seeing about one every minute, and that's the other thing. Normally on a moonlit night, you'd probably only see one or two meteors per hour. But last night, people were reporting of the order of 10 every 15 minutes. Okay. So that's a huge jump higher than normal. So you won't be waiting too long. But they do always warn people, beware, meteors are like buses. Nothing happens for 5 minutes, then two or three come along at once.
Okay. I think that's where I was going wrong then, David, because I was walking outside, wait for maybe 2 minutes. No, I didn't see anything. Off I'd go back into the house. I gave up too easy, obviously. Persistence, key there. Is it dangerous to be looking at these, or is there anything that people should do? It's fine to look at with the naked eye?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely fine to look at the naked eye. There have been some extremely brilliant fireballs that might dazzle you for a few seconds, but it's not as bad as ordinary daylight is that we all let our eyes suffer for hours on end every day of our lives. So, in fact, at night time, your eyes become extremely sensitive to faint light. So anything that looks very, very bright, like even your phone screen, and might make you wince a little. It's not actually damaging your eyes. Your eyes are well able for that. Still not as bright as sunlight. As you'll know, if you try and look at your phone with the sun shining on the screen. So the human eye can well cater for this. It's not like, say, an eclipse of the sun, which is dangerous. But nighttime, meteors, it's a fantastic celestial fireworks display, courtesy of Mother Nature, and you've nothing to worry about. And none of the rocks from space that are causing this can actually make it down to the ground and hit us. So you've nothing to worry about there, and the chance of being hit by a meteorite are extremely small. But anyway, this is not the kind of thing that causes big meteors like we've had over the decades and centuries in the past.
Okay, brilliant. Well, that's great advice there. Of course, if you do want to go out and see the meteors or these shooting stars, it'll be after 10 o'clock for the best optimal time to watch.
Before 10 o'clock.
Before. Oh, sorry about that.
Before 10 o'clock, yeah.
Before
and
10
And after
o'clock.
10, you see more, but the moon will be up then. And that'll swamp the fainter ones. That's all.
Okay, so before 10 o'clock, apologies there. Before 10 o'clock, and then, of course, you can count all of the shooting stars that you see, and you can go on to the website. What's the website again there, David?
astronomy.ie, or just search for Astronomy Ireland. And if you want to see the report of all the people who are sending it in, do join Astronomy Ireland. We're always looking for new members. The fantastic beginner's level magazine comes out every month, and you'll see details of that on astronomy.ie as well.
There you go, astronomy.ie. Get counting before 10 o'clock tonight of all the shooting stars that you see. And hopefully tomorrow I'll have some texts in to say that they've seen lots of shooting stars across Kildare. That is David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us, David. Lots and lots of messages came in about the worst Christmas presents that people have received. And you're giving me a good laugh. Anne in Newbridge says she doesn't remember any bad presents, and she says she's just happy to get anything. So there's a woman who is easily pleased. Lots of people texting in. Scrubbing brushes is a very common one here. So please don't get anyone a scrubbing brush for Christmas. I don't think it's a good present. Maybe practical, but definitely not good. Now, I have my winner online. I'm joined by Tina in Clain. She is the winner of the €50 voucher for Maynooth Jewellers. Tina, what's the worst present you've ever received?
Quiva, believe it or not, it was an exercise bike many years ago. Needless to say, it was from an ex-husband at this stage.
I love it, an ex-husband. What was your reaction then? Was it Christmas morning?
Well, it was actually Christmas morning, and I tell you, my face dropped when I seen it.
And it
very disappointed.
Is that all he got you?
Well, I can't remember at the time now, to tell you the truth, it was many years ago, but I just do remember that incident now, to tell you the truth.
Oh, my God. So what did you say? Like, did you pretend to be happy with it, or did you say
well,
no?
I think he just knew by me at the time that I wasn't too happy with it.
Mm, some things are hard to fake, aren't they?
That was very hard to take.
The thing is, the exercise bikes, they are very expensive. So, you know, you can look at it that way.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, yeah. I think I would have preferred the money rather than the exercise bike.
I think I would have too, definitely, definitely. So are you going to spend the €50 voucher on yourself, Tina?
I am, of course, no problem.
Lovely. A nice pair of earrings or a new necklace.
Yes, exactly. Either earrings now or a nice chain.